What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. Texans get another W, 6-2. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a reaction victory. Reaction Monday. Victorious reaction Monday. And there is a lot of cussing that needs to be done around the offense. Another performance that left a lot to be desired by the Texans offense. Other than Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon ran it well. They are definitely getting this running game rolling with Joe Mixon out there. Four games that he's played this year that he started and finished have all been over 100 yards?
Three. Is it three or four?
Oh, it was four.
I guess so. Yeah, game one. It's the Colts. He's got two games against the Colts with it. Yeah, four.
That's a huge plus. Now, will Bobby Slowick embrace that and lean into it, or are we going to keep throwing the ball 12 or 16 times out of the gate?
Slowick losing it?
I don't know what they're going to do offensively. We'll get to that. But some big time positive, guys. And I tell you, I've been trying to poke holes in this from the beginning of the year, but now I'm bought in. D'Amico Ryan's defense. You know, it's hard at this point, Ron, for me to say, boy, well, you know, Shane Steichen just got away from the run game, man, week one, and just. I bet he's really shooting himself in the foot, you know, just really worried about this. He wishes he was stuck to the run. We've seen two games now where he's decided to make some questionable decisions. I'm at a point where I'm over with the Texans defense making excuses to why what I've expected to happen isn't happening. I'm just going to embrace what the hell it is. We've got a large enough sample size with the Houston Texans defense right now to believe that they are what the stats tell us they are, Ron. They are the second ranked defense in the NFL as it pertains to total yards allowed per game. They are second in the entire NFL with yards allowed per game. They are third in the league in passing yards allowed per game. When you get to rushing yards allowed, they drop a little bit, 10-11 area. And then you get to points that they've given up, they drop a little bit, that 11-12-13 area. But you're talking 2-3 points that separate the eighth best defense from the 13th best defense. So point being, like, this defense statistically is significantly better than I thought they were going to be. This defense, when you just go down the schedule and you look at how many games the defense dominated an opponent and allowed the offense to really be comfortable and really play pissy poor at times, and the team still get a W. When you talk about this football team being 6-2 right now, it's all, at this point in time, due to the fact that the defense, for the most part, in eight ball games, the defense, with the exception of the Minnesota Vikings game, has played what I would say is above expectations for me all year long, Ron. I'm through talking about, well, Kamari Lassiter, why is nobody throwing the go routes on Kamari Lassiter? Why is nobody trying Kamari Lassiter the way that they went at D'Angelo Ross? How come people keep getting away from that inside run when you really don't have the presence on the inside to be that run stopping team?
No, now that you bring this up, I wonder a little bit now that you bring it up. Why won't teams?
I don't know. I don't have the answer. Ron, I don't like why don't teams? Why are teams not having more success against Eric Murray instead of Eric Murray going out there and having a great game? Like, why are teams Like, yeah, Jalen Petrie got picked on a crossing route yesterday. Yeah, he got beat by Downs on the corner route that was down to the 1 yard line or whatever. But, like, it's not hurting this team's ability to win ball games. Why are teams like Jonathan Taylor and the Colts and Anthony Richardson, why are they not running the ball downhill between the tackles to the tune of just blowing the doors off of people? Why did Josh Allen and Cooks not stick to the run and run it downhill more? And why did he only complete 9 passes? Why did Anthony Richardson only complete 10 passes? I don't know how and why it's all happening. Ron,
you're to the point like hell is happening.
I'm just to the point where I'm through discrediting them, right? I mean, look, the schedule is going to get significantly tougher moving forward. And there's some offenses that may or may not give them some trouble, and we'll see what happens there. But I know I've seen 8 ball games, and I've watched it through a very critical lens of, man, this team ought to just run it right down the throat of this team. And they'll do it for a quarter, or they'll do it for a drive, and then for some reason or another, D'Amico Ryans comes up with some kind of scheme that gets a quarterback to throw the football into coverage, or gets a quarterback against the Green Bay Packers. The only reason they were even in that game is because the defense turned them over 3 times. Or I guess the defense turned them over twice and special teams turned them over 1 time. Right? I mean, the only reason that they're in that game, they're not in the game yesterday, but the only reason that game is as evenly matched yesterday as it was with what I think was bad on offense is you turn them over and they hand you 7 points right there at the end of the game. Right? You somehow bottle up Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor and only give them spurts in the game where they were really getting rolling. Like, I can't help, Ron. Once I've seen this level of a sample size, I've got to at some point just buy in. I mean, to the defense. Where are you guys at with this defense? I mean, you think this defense is going to stand the test of time as the schedule gets a little bit more difficult? You think it's going to get ugly, or do you think they get healthy and get guys back and they can keep on keeping on the rate they're going right now?
Listen, I think they're obviously, I think in many things, and I think this is a case where it's warranted, like, multiple things can be true. I still do have concerns of the amount of guys that they have running free in the middle of the defense. The amount of guys down.
Getting behind them.
I mean, in this game in particular, and it's twice against the Colts, and there could be something about Anthony Richardson and what they do that allows this, but they had big time opportunities.
Yeah.
That were just plays they didn't make. And like you said, boy, and there was just odd stuff why they didn't run the football, why they didn't keep doing that. And to me, the two teams that we've seen kind of take advantage of it were obviously the Vikings and the Packers. But especially in the Packers game, though, you could see the positive and the concerns, right?
Yeah.
They gave up some of the big plays. And they gave up some of the stuff with loose coverage, but it still resulted in them, 23 points, 22 points?
Yeah, you play the end of that game better, and it's a different outcome.
I think my biggest thing with the defense, and that I don't know that I've given them enough credit for, anybody's given enough credit for, is their like big moments and big parts of the game, with the exception of maybe that last drive against the Packers. They show really up. Yeah. Like, their fourth quarter scoring, and all these games they've been in have been tight for the most part. Their fourth quarter score, they're not giving up points to teams, right? Like, the Packers only scored 3, I think, in the second half. in the fourth quarter. Like, they hold it down. Big moments, just like, you know, yesterday, getting off the field when they need to, against Buffalo, getting off the field and creating. So I think that's which is a good thing, especially when you get in the playoffs and games that are important. In big possessions and big moments, Will and Hunter and Petrie and the rest, they seem to rise up and they play their best ball in those moments.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest.
That's a great
the biggest point. Thing that impresses me about this defense. Like, if you just go track fourth quarter scoring in your mind, think, like, these games are all tight ball games except for the Vikings and the Patriots game, and then you just start looking at how much they gave up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They're
giving the offense opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to either win the game or to make it not a one-score game. I'm with you. Like, the receivers and pass catchers getting behind the secondary scares the hell out of me. But then you look at it and you go, well, guys are missing it, and they're missing it because they're under so much pressure. There's so much chaos in the pocket that they're creating. I don't doubt there's going to be moments where, whether it's Aaron Rodgers this week or like somebody's going to set their feet and make one of these throws, and it's going to be a big play. But as long as it don't come in threes and fours and fives, then you're going to make more plays than not. So I don't know. I don't know why teams aren't running the ball inside better than they are, or more consistently than they are. Right? I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer for the team wide receivers and tight ends getting behind the coverage. I don't have the answers, but we've seen it time and time again for 8 games now, and it's somehow when the game ends, the defense is over and over again giving this offense a chance to go win, and they're just going to get healthier, right? They're going to get their linebackers back. They're going to get one of their safeties back. They just got DeNico Autry back. You got to think that he's going to be, up to speed soon. They're going to get Mario Edwards back at some point in time. I'm not so sure that defensively they're not going to be active at the trade deadline. And so there's just that this defense, I am more of a believer right now than I ever thought I would be of this defense. And I'm buying into what the box score says, what the stats say, man. So, we'll see how that ages as this schedule gets a little bit more difficult, but I like what I'm seeing from these guys right now. Ron, there's something out there, boys, that this may be petty of me. It's in the spirit of what's my man's name for the Bears that decided to wave to the fans and all that and then get a Hail Mary thrown in his ass?
Tyreek Stevenson?
Yeah. In the spirit of just distractions and talking trash and all that and dancing and jive, D'Amico Ryan's got to put a stop to the first down celebrations. Did y'all notice that? Tyler, did you notice that? Ron likes it. He's not going to be honest with
him. I'm going to be honest with you.
I noticed after Diggs went down, though, and I don't know how many celebrations in total there were. After Diggs went down, I saw two or three of the Texans players, after they would get a first down, doing almost like a tribute to Stephon with the...
Doing it two different ways.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. This was not brought on. I've never been a fan of that kind of crap. The look at me, we got a touchdown. Just get your ass in the huddle, right? I mean, that just get back in the huddle, and we can do all the dances you want when the game's over and we win. I'm cool with that.
I've
never been a fan. But
every week, though.
Bobby Slowick came out last week, and Bobby Slowick, and I think D'Amico Ryans echoed it. Both of them said, we've got to get in and out of the huddle quicker so we got more time at the line of scrimmage, so we got more time to pre-snap to figure things out. And I'll be damned if Diggs don't catch a ball down a sideline. Him and Xavier Hutchinson, now they're dancing together. Now they're doing the first down thing together.
Hell yeah.
At the same time. And while that's going on, Juice Scruggs, of all people, Juice, your ass ought not be dancing, that's for sure.
Feel
Juice,
it.
Juice Scruggs is running down the middle of the field doing it. And I'll be damned to be fair, it was not that snap, but the next snap, it ends up being a high snap because everything's being rushed because the play clock's running out. How in the hell does Bobby Slowick talk about get back in the huddle, that the whole focus is the answer to the problems of the pass protection are we've got to get in the huddle. We got to huddle up quicker so that we can get to the line of scrimmage and have longer to process what's going on. And we got guys like choreographed together doing the first down and a center running down the field doing the same damn thing.
I just answered this one also.
No, Bobby, you answered it to the media, but then you guys went out there and did the exact opposite of what your ass is talking about. Like, I'm going to be honest with y'all. It chaps my hide.
Yeah, I think Bobby should have shut up and not even said it. Because, Bobby, the five-second celebration is not what's hampering your offense.
Well, I don't know if that's what, I don't know if that's what Bobby was even talking about. I don't think that's what he was originally. I think he was just talking about their process is too slow. But I'm just, if I'm going through a game and I'm watching my quarterback get the hell beat out of him, and in any way, shape, or form, I'm thinking, my process is too slow offensively. I got to get this thing right. We got to pick this thing up a little bit. Like, guys standing up and doing the little first down, and when it gets choreographed and offensive linemen are stopped, what if we want to run tempo? What if we want to get on the ball? What if we want to get on the ball right now and go, and we've got to wait, even if it's 2 or 3 seconds, we've got to wait for you to get your attention back on football and get where you're supposed to be. I'm just out on it, man. I hate it. It's silly.
I enjoy it.
And then when you follow it up with a play clock running down to zero and snapping it damn near over the quarterback's head, that's precisely why.
Yeah, their first down celebrations aren't to me, the least of the issues. Is it, first off, least of the issues? I don't even think it is an issue. They're just having fun. And I don't think that is taken away from their struggles. Offensive. They're not taunting people. Well, they're not doing it. It's just the first down.
If the coaches, both of them, say, we got to hurry up and get back in the huddle, and it becomes a problem after two of them are choreographed dancing, it clearly has a chance to be an issue. I mean, it's not just like having fun is one thing. But
do you think that the do you think it prevented them from getting into the huddle, like getting the playoff where they wanted? I don't think so.
Well, if the play clock runs out on you and it took you an extra 2 or 3 seconds to process get the play, it potentially could. I don't have a specific.
You're talking about the snap. You said that was a different play.
I don't know. Just to be transparent, I'm not sure if it was that exact play or the very next one. The point is that there's clearly not a focus on getting your ass back in the huddle. Like that, there's clearly not a focus on speeding things up. I'm so agitated that I broke the damn mic over here again.
Yep, Aaron, get up in here. That's well, why.
It ain't never been fixed.
That mic was telling you, chill out, man.
No, I can't do
it, man. You ain't that old.
Because what you do is you chill out. And then you got dudes when there's a Hail Mary being thrown playing with the crowd instead of doing what they, having your head in the game and having doing your job. That's a hell of a leap. No, that's what it gets to. That's exactly what it gets to.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the Texans fellas in important moments would be focused and ready to go because they generally are. Now they may be confused, Kenyon Green. Speaking of Kenyon Green, let's hear from the head coach because the head coach spoke earlier today about Kenyon Green and what went in to the moves that were made with Kenyon Green. You got to hear that. You'll hear that coming up.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a... It's a Mad Dog Monday. We had a little Mad Dog, a little Victory Monday, had a little Victory Monday, a little Reaction Monday as well. As the Texans, through their first eight games, they start out, they are now 6-2 with a commanding lead that is two, but really more than two, really three games over the Colts because they have won the season series. They did what they needed to do despite some issues there. And when we say some issues, I mean, you know you got issues within the first after the first three drives on offense. We're still in the first quarter. You bench one of your offensive linemen. And it was interesting because through the week, Clint, we heard D'Amico say, hey, we got to get it fixed. Everything's on the table.
It's all fixable.
It's all fixable. Everything's on the table. Got a little better with it more as the week continued. It's all fixable. But we wondered if there was going to be anything, you know, major that they would do that would show like, hey, all right, this is something they're talking about when they say everything's on the table. And we really didn't see anything until Kenyon Green got benched after three drives. Now, unfortunately for Jarrett Patterson, he had to go right back in after Patterson got injured with a concussion. But he had to go back in and he had to play him again. D'Amico Ryans, who was on In the Loop as he spoke to the media today, he addressed this very thing about, one, replacing Kenyon Green with Patterson and then coming back in to have to replace Patterson with Kenyon Green.
Jared did a really nice job when he went in and had some good plays. Unfortunately, he was out. Then Kenyon was back in. There was no overthinking it. Kenyon got a lot of reps throughout the week, and he was the guy to go in, and he has a lot of good reps as well. You know, a lot of people want to, you know, focus on the bad. Everybody has bad reps here or there, and we can all focus on that, or we can look at the positive and think he has some really good plays as well.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, we're going to focus on the bad. You benched him after three series. And I don't care what you say, I would assume you weren't exactly fired up about having him run back in there. And I would imagine, Clint, there was at least a conversation, potentially. You think we might want to go Kendrick Green? We might want to go somewhere else. So, yeah, we're going to, yeah, he's not been playing well. He's a number 15th overall pick that you drafted, that you essentially shut down last year. And now he comes back in. and you didn't bring any competition straight off the bat in here for him, to be honest with you. And now it has caused you to have to bench him against the Colts. So, no, I don't have the thoughts to go look at the positive plays. But when I'm looking at this, Clint, clearly they wanted to make the move. Clearly, Clint, if Patterson didn't get hurt, Kenyon Green would have not entered that game again. And I don't believe he would be playing or would be in line to play Thursday against the Jets, since I would be surprised if Patterson made it back with a concussion. It is at least got to be on the table, Clint, that one, it doesn't seem like they're very comfortable right now with Kenyon Green getting the start. And should they be working it up, even with this short week, working it up, maybe looking at other options, Clint, and not having him out there?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt. They've made it loud and clear that they should be and they will be.
By the way, they're right by his play.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, there's several guys up there that deserve to be in more of a competition instead of just a week-in, week-out starter. I mean, replacing Kenyon Green with anybody on this roster is not going to solve your problem. It'll help your problem because it's addressing one of the issues that's been rough of late. And, you know, now the fact that they put in a backup center that is not a guard, he's a center, it tells you that clearly they needed somebody that had gotten reps throughout the week, and the center, Jared Patterson, had got a bunch of reps throughout the week. And now moving forward, the question is, Jared Patterson is out this week. There's not room for a ton of reps, but there is room for a guy to know that he's going to start for 2 or 3 days before they take the field in New York. And so, I think they should definitely consider making a move at left guard. There's to your point, I think you made the most valid point of all earlier, of just like, he appears overwhelmed, not just getting beat here or there. He appears overwhelmed, chasing his tail. And when, as a coach, when you're watching that, it's your duty to replace him. It's your duty to get a better option there for the team and for the player, if we're being completely honest. The thing here for me is, like, what is the move, right? And obviously right now the move is not Jared Patterson because he's in concussion protocol. But Jared Patterson's a center. Like, that's not the move. That's not a longer-term move for this football team.
Is there a move on the roster? Because Juice is a center who played over there last year.
As Kendrick bad as Green. He's been in pass protection, I would give any of those guys an option. I think you got Kendrick Green, and I think you got Broker. Those are the two guys that I think are real potential there. And when Patterson comes back, there's a chance that we see Patterson at center and Juice Scruggs at guard. I understand why they didn't make that move in a game, because you don't want to change the quarterback center in the middle of a game, and you'd rather just keep the continuity there and make that change during the week where you can get some run with it. But right now, I would think that one of those backup guards has a real good chance to get some run this week.
Yeah, it's that bad.
I agree.
It's that bad that there, and we'll explore this week, because November 5th is the trade deadline, but there's got to be some conversations about that spot, multiple other spots on the roster. But listen, I thought Kenyon Green had passed all the tests leading into to training camp. During training camp, his body was different there. But this isn't, to me, as much about of a physical thing. It's upstairs. It's like they're running him out there, and I'm not going to say nobody else is confused, because it kind of takes two to tango with some of these games and stunts that they don't seem to pick up. But it was clear, like, every time, like, it was him. It was clear he would go and help Laramie Tunsil and just leave. Buckner
He's in panic mode way too often. Now, look, I'll say this. This shouldn't take away from the progress the kid made in the offseason. He's played a lot more football this year than I think anybody expected him to. Just the fact of the matter is, right now, this team feels like they need to go out there knowing that you're going to get one of two guys, either, what's Big Grover's name? Stuart Grover or DeForest Buckner. You're going to get that. Who are the two best players on that defense? You're going to get one of those two every snap. And this team thinks the best plan is to go out there and throw the ball 12 of the first 16 snaps. I don't understand that. I feel like there's a certain degree he got set up to fail. But if that's going to be their plan of attack and that's going to be how he performs, they have no choice but to make a move. So if anybody has an excuse to play bad and to play bad enough to get pulled out, it's the one guy that him and Juice Scruggs are the two, and I'd say those are the two guys that are struggling more than anything. And Kendrick Green got to yank this weekend.
Man, and they got Kinlaw and Quinnen Williams.
You got some dudes coming now.
And we saw what Quinnen Williams, I think, was the one that led to CJ's injury last year.
Yep, and if you're going to go in there and you're going to throw it 12 or 16 times in first 16 snaps, good luck to whoever's playing left guard position.
But the other part is, Clint, though, they're going to throw it. You know, I understand what you're saying.
You're going to throw it, but they're going to throw it. The mindset of taking the football after you win the toss and then going out there and throwing it 12 of 16 snaps is hard for me to understand how Bobby Slowick got there.
No, I hear you. I'm just saying at some point, like in the game, we know they're going to throw it 20, 25 times.
Sure.
And if it's not just Quinnen Williams might just whip your ass straight up.
Sure.
But there's a thing where Quinnen Williams and Reddick, who they'll get back, does stunts. And then, I don't know what's going to happen with Quincy Williams and C.J. Mosley. What are they going to – like, the confusion stuff. It's one thing, like, if we can't even drop back five times without
– Right.
It seems like four of the five, there's some sort of confusion where it's just a free person coming. Like, that – like, it's got to be fixed at some point. All right, the Texans are 6-2, but I got the feel from a lot of people around leaving the stadium. It didn't feel like a team that just got to 6-2 and was winning. We'll discuss how people are feeling and T-Mill's best bets coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
As someone here on YouTube and Twitch, remember coming up behind us, D'Amico Ryans, the coach's show. We are out early. He will be here at 5 right after us. The coach's show, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Tommy, my man, said, unfortunately, any move this week won't help Thursday's game. We're looking at the Kenyon Green thing because clearly they were ready, at least yesterday, to move off of him. Well, I don't know if I'd rather you to just have somebody completely confused or somebody that's just that has potential to get their ass kicked. I mean, I don't know what's worse.
Well, the interesting thing, and I hadn't really viewed it from this point, but the interesting thing that happened in that game is they thought that which he was. I'm not saying he wasn't, but they were at a spot where they'd seen enough of Kenyon Green, because you don't make that move and then bounce back after halftime unless there's some kind of injury like there was.
Unless you're Steve Sarkisian.
Right, you're at a spot, which they knew throughout the week in prep, that they were at a spot with Kenyon Green that if he struggled, they were pulling the plug.
I'm going to do it, yep.
And to think that their answer was a backup center that's light in the ass, that in no way, shape, or form is a long-term answer at guard.
What else would have been, though, for you?
That's what I'm saying. A guard, yeah, preferably. I mean, I don't know if it's Broker. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not opposed to it for one game, right? But the thought would be that we need to be a little – like, you're telling me that you've got two guard positions – I mean, guard, center, guard, Jarrett Patterson was your second string guy.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Ultimately.
Center, yeah.
Like, that's okay for an emergency situation like that. But, like, moving forward, I'm curious what the plan is there at that guard position. Are any of the guys that you have as depth, are any of those guys actually able to play guard? Do you have confidence in them? Or was Jarrett Patterson just almost like by default because he's the best communicator of the bunch?
Yeah.
Because he's a center, right? I mean, so you wonder, Like, what's the long-term answer with Kenyon Green? And is it going to bite them in the ass that they didn't go out there and get somebody as an interior offensive lineman that is some level of depth right
now? Or they may have to try to make it up now.
Yeah, I mean, you got Nick Broeker, who they've got listed as a right tackle, but he's actually a guard. You got a couple of guys that are hurt, and then you've got Kendrick Green and Kenyon Green. And so it's, you're limited there, and it's going to be interesting how they move forward. Going back out there against New York, you said it earlier, going back out there against New York and calling plays as if everything's fine up front when you got Quinnen Williams across the football from Kenyon Green, if that's your answer, it's a scary matchup. And it's once again, say what you want about the kid, but at this point in time, you know he can't handle that. So to go out there and get pass happy from jump is, like you said, you got to throw the ball at some point in time. I understand that. I'm okay with that. But like to go out there and get pass happy from jump with that matchup, I mean, you're asking to get your quarterback waylaid consistently.
Well, that's what I'm saying to me. And I said, would you rather be confused? Would you rather have somebody that's confused or somebody that's got their ass kicked? Like, if your game plan is going to throw the football, which you have C.J. Stroud, I think it's going to be. Now we'll see what your receiving corps looks like, so maybe that might pull you off a little bit. But they wanted to come out and get C.J. Stroud the ball and get him involved. Yeah. That's what they wanted to do in this game. That's what they want. I'm sure at some points will want to do. And to me, if he just, because that's what it seemed like consistently, he did not seem to understand exactly what his assignment was. And if you have that, I think you have to go to somebody that you feel some level of confidence that at least will know what their assignment is.
Yeah.
Because that's what it seems like. Like, because I think Quinnen Williams can whoop anybody's ass in front that the Texans can throw out. We watched him do it last year. But when you combine that with, they may do their two linebackers, they may send blitzes, or they may send games or stunts, like, and he's going to miss out on that too.
Well, they've got to figure out, Ron, and we've mentioned this a couple of times today, like they've got to figure out, like you've got to have at least enough sense, awareness, calmness, whatever you want to couch it as, is, you know, if you're Kenyon Green and you're playing and you got Quinnen Williams in the A-gap, and you got to have enough awareness and enough sense that you're going to stick with Juice Scruggs and help him with Quinnen Williams instead of turn out and block air with Laremy Tunsil. Like, you got to eliminate those types of issues just from jump. Like, that's got to be something that, even if you put a lesser player in there or a guy with a lower ceiling, so to speak, you at least eliminate those kinds of issues. Like leaving Juice Scruggs when he's got his hands full to help Laremy Tunsil. Like that can't be in the game plan, right? I mean, and I know it's not the game plan. I'm saying that can't be what your left guard does.
Right? I mean, to me, it seemed like everything we talked about and worked on all week long just went right out the window when he got out there.
Yeah.
That's the feel of how quickly they moved off of him. That's the feel of it. It was just like, This is what we talked about.
It was the fear I spoke of last week, Ron. You can bench Kenyon Green and get a better communicator out there and get a guy that knows who he's blocking, and hell, he can even go out there and at the left guard position do a really good job. Your problems are still not solved. You still got some serious issues up front. So
this is the biggest issue that the Texans have on this team.
I agree.
And not just Kenyon Green. I mean, up front, he's not. It's not him by himself.
No, but I mean, even if you want to boil it down to Kenyon Green, I think it is the biggest problem on the offensive line
because they looked much like it was just one drive, but it looked like it was more smooth.
Yeah. You look. I mean, there is. The problem with this schedule moving forward is there is no time for a guy that is overwhelmed like Kenyon appears to be. Like, you can't catch your breath. I mean, it's just one after another moving forward with this schedule. So We'll see, man. That is something to keep an eye on, to see what they do at the guard position. Obviously not Jarrett Patterson with that in that concussion protocol. We'll see if Broker gets in the conversation, or if Kendrick Green gets in the conversation, and see what that looks like.
All right, yeah. Coming up behind us, remember, as we said, the coaches show. D'Amico Ryans, he will join the fellas, and he will be live right here as soon as we get done here. And a little Monday Night Football follows them. A team that is looking to have the same record in the AFC as the Texans. The Pittsburgh Steelers, with Russell Wilson behind center, is hosting the New York Giants.
Let's ride.
This looks like a matchup of which the Steelers and the Giants are heading in different directions. We'll see what happens tonight, but that game will follow D'Amico Ryans and the coaches show. So that's coming up behind us. And speaking of that, Clint, as we head to Tyler's best bets, T Mill's best bets, I gotta believe tonight's game is running prevalent through here. Noah, you got a lot to pick from. You got a big Monday Night Football game, you got some NBA, you got the World Series tonight. As it is being very, very difficult to continue. I know not for you, Tyler, but difficult to watch Aaron Judge just continue to suck.
What's he batting, like 150?
I don't know, man. It's
so
just
great, though.
In any kind of situation with runners on scoring position, it feels like I'm watching Maldonado. That level of confidence that he's going to come through, it feels like Maldonado.
Yes.
But what's your best bet?
I got six for you. That's been the trend lately. Six best bets. I want each of you to pick one of these six. I'll give them to you real quick. I'm on the Steelers -4.5 tonight against the Giants. I'm on the over for this game. It is set very low, 36.5. I'm on the over. I'm on four props for you. Daniel Jones over rushing yards. I believe that's at 25.5. I'm on Russell Wilson over rushing yards, which is at 15.5. I'm on George Pickens over 4.5 receptions. That might be my favorite one. And I'm on Russell Wilson over 18.5 completions tonight. Which ones y'all like?
I like Pickens over.
Yes, sir.
I like George Pickens over. And I'm going to ask you to look at Najee Harris's total yards tonight for me when we get off the air.
Okay.
Yeah, and I like the Russ 15.5 rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants have a decent pass rush that can, you can see flushing him out of the pocket, and he just Russ does a little deal where he runs towards the sideline and always sticks the ball out forward, and he finds his way to 5-6 yards.
Yeah.
I feel like he may do that 2 or 3 times.
Let's ride. Let's win some money.
So I like that. Go ahead. Check out Tyler's best bets as he posts them. You got a chance to win. D'Amico Ryan's coming up behind us as they got a short week. Get ready for the New York Giants. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Then I look at you.